Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today we're talking about going beyond borders. We're going to have more scripture than we normally have, so that'll be fun. If you have a Bible, you might want to pull it out to follow along. If you have it on your phone, you can do that. We're talking about today's sermon is called Beyond Borders, and we're in the part of the book of Acts, going through the book of Acts and just seeing how the church advanced, and it's a lesson for us here as the church in Taiwan, who will continue the same mission that the church in Acts did. So Jesus, when he left, he gave us a mission to go into all the world, make disciples, and that mission has continued on throughout the ages, ever since Jesus was here, and throughout the nations, and it continues to expand. And so we want to learn from what they did in the book of Acts so that we can be more effective in doing that here, in helping people come to know the love of Jesus. And so turn to your neighbor and just tell them, we are on mission. And our mission goes beyond the borders. That's good. You know, all of us in our lives, we have what we say are our limits. And what God does and what the kingdom of God does, it keeps moving us past our limits so that we begin to grow beyond what we thought we could do. And the kingdom of God touches people that we thought it would never touch. Because we live in a world that needs the love of God. And there are so many barriers to the love of God. Some of them are in our own hearts. Some of them are in our relationships, some are in our lifestyle, some are just in the personal relationships we have with others. Some of them are organized against the kingdom of God going forward. And yet the kingdom of God continues to advance. And so that's why we go to Mongolia. We're sending a team there. Is because that is a nation that has gone through all kinds of trauma. And they're just struggling. And so we want to come alongside. And we just know the thing that's going to help them the most is as we bring Jesus into that nation and his love. You see every aspect of society, and this is just what's happened throughout history. When God has come into a nation, all boats rise. I mean, marriages get better, education gets better, the economy gets better, because that's the way that God loves. And so we come in there to bring Jesus, because when we know we bring Jesus, every other area of society will be touched. That's why we love people like the Art Collective. I love Lewis. Lewis is like a serious athlete. I've tried jogging behind him, sort of walking and saying, how about you keep running and I'll keep walking. So I love that the passion that he has, recognizing that he has a God-given passion. And I'm going to use it for the kingdom. Because we can use our passions for ourselves, or you can use them for God's purposes. And let me give you a little insight. The passions that God places in your life, the skills and abilities that he puts there, are always put there for a kingdom purpose. And if you ever want to find fulfillment in life, to be fully fulfilled, we say, you know, to really discover, okay, this is what I was, to feel like I'm living in what I was made for, then it's aligning who you are with who God made you to be. And then things start to, the rest of your life starts to fall into place. So we're going to be looking today at three chapters. And it's a little long. We're going through a lot of scripture because really the Bible is just a story. It's a story of God and his love at work. And sometimes you got to just read the whole story. You know, sometimes you watch the movie, it's a short clip. Then you read the book and you think, wow, there's so much more there. And so today we're going to read the book and you're going to see how much more is there. We'll start with Matthew 28. This is our theme scripture for this series. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what God's called us to do, to go into all the world make disciples, teach them everything that Jesus taught us. But how does this happen? And how is it happening? Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8 shows how the move of God and the church expanded from a small little movement in a city in the Middle East, the city of Jerusalem, and it was pretty much confined to that. And then all of a sudden, in these three chapters, it begins to bust out. And we start to see it going beyond just one ethnic group. Before it was all Jews and one city, it was all in Jerusalem. And the move of God began to spread nation to nation, people group to people group. And so we're just going to follow how that happens, because we especially as an expat church here in Taiwan, this is what we do. God's called us to reach across the borders of nations, geography, across the borders of culture and ethnicity, across the borders of social status, into every part of society. This is what the kingdom of God does. You look around you, there's people from all different social backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, geographic backgrounds. And God's brought us together, not just to be ourselves, but in order to encourage each other, become a body that God can use to reach out. So, Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8. Number one, how does this happen? It begins with a problem. And so that's always exciting. It rarely begins the way we think. So often, the power of God in our lives and the move of God and the transformation of God in our lives and others begins with a problem. Because as long as things are going together, going well, we seem to like to just be on our own and just do it ourselves. I can handle it. I'm just going to keep handling it and do it myself. That's kind of, you know, we're taught that, right? Paddle your own canoe, take care of your own stuff. And God was always like, man, I want to walk with you. I want to do life together with you. I want you to know my love and for me to pour into you just as you pour into me, and for you to learn that with other people, that you share life together, because life is so much better when you share it together. That's why it's the ARC Collective. It's not just Lewis thinking, oh, I got a passion, I'm just going to go do this thing. But there's more power in it, and we are better transformed when we do it together. But it begins so often, what God does in our lives and the lives around us, so often begins with problems. And that's something that we need to learn as a church, is when problems come, it's a green light that says, here's where God wants to work. We often think that problems are just what we need to get rid of, get away from, avoid, stuff under. But God is actually saying, when problems come, it's an indication that's where I want to be. And that's where hearts are open. And as a movement, that's our history. That's what we want to do, is wherever there's problems, wherever there's crisis, we want to go. So whether it's typhoon in Saipan, whether it was a tsunami in Indonesia, we have historically just sent teams in. I remember when a huge storm hit New York City and many lives were lost. The next day, we had our church, we had 12 teams out just serving wherever we could go in and come and help. And that's just what the church is meant to do. We go where there's a problem. But you also do that in your workplace. You need to do that in your school, to go where the problems are. And we jump into those places. And that's a process that we're all learning together to do. And we do that well sometimes, and sometimes we don't do it so well. And when we don't do it so well, we just get up and we encourage each other and say, okay, I'm going to do better next time. Because we're growing in this together. Okay, so it begins with a problem. Here it's in the book of Acts, it started with a cultural divide, but as the believers, Acts chapter 6 verse 1 says, as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers. Imagine that. Saying that the widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And so what happens here, you have like an ethnic problem. It's not really ethnic, it's more of a cultural problem, because they're all Jews. It's just that some of these Jews, the Greek-speaking ones, grew up outside of the Holy Land, outside of Jerusalem, outside. And so they speak Greek, and so they're culturally different. They're all Jews, ethnically the same, but culturally different. And what happens is, especially, there are a lot of these widows, because in Jewish, in the Jewish religion, there's a desire to be buried in Jerusalem, to be buried in the city there. because they feel like that's where the Messiah will come. And if you are buried there, then you'll be the first ones to meet the Messiah. And that, and actually Jewish theology, they teach that if you're buried somewhere else, then you have to, when the Messiah comes, you have to make your way back to Jerusalem. And they have these stories of you got to roll in these underground tunnels and roll your way back to Jerusalem. So don't get buried somewhere else, or it's going to be a long, arduous journey to get there. And so they always would want to, at the end of life, they'd want to come there. And those days, husbands were much older than the wives, and so they passed first. And so they try to get to Jerusalem before they would pass. And then there'd be all these widows there, Greek-speaking widows, who lived outside of Israel, outside of Palestine, and then came there to die. And so that's a big population that you're helping to take care of. And that's where it begins. This is where the spread of the church outside of Jerusalem into the world began with a cultural problem. This is what we as a church do. Our mission is all wrapped up in the mission of that Jesus made for us. Some of you may have never heard our mission statement. This is actually the mission statement for us as a church. Our mission statement is, we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. So we exist to honor God. In other words, we obey God, we bring God glory, we do what He's called us to do by establishing Christ-centered. Everything has to be about Jesus. All that we do needs to point back to Him. He needs to be at the center. When we talk about stuff, it always needs to go back to Him. So it's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. It always comes back to Jesus. We need to be Spirit-empowered. There's no way that we can accomplish the purposes of God, the mission of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be socially responsible. In other words, the hurting around us. Jesus said, I'm going to the sick. I want to go to those who are on the fringes of society. When 99 are gathered together, I go for the one who's the social outcast. This is the heart of Jesus. And so it needs to be the heart of the church. And so that's why we get involved in things like the Ark Collective. We plant churches and campus ministries in every nation. Churches because the church is God's plan to reach the world, to go and just start churches everywhere in every city so that the presence of God and people of God are throughout the world. And then campus ministries. The reason why we do campus ministries is it is too easy for us to just get consumed with our own generation and our own stuff and forget that there are generations coming, and we have a responsibility to make sure that the generations that follow us understand, have a relationship with God, and understand what that looks like. And so that's why we do both churches and campus ministries, because we always want to be focused on those who come after us. And to say, let's keep the mission expanding and going. And it's in every nation, because that's what Jesus says, go into every nation. So in Acts chapter 6 here, we're going to see how cultural tensions and problems lead to kingdom and church expansion. The thing that's going to, we're going to see happen here is, up until this time, it's been the 11 apostles. The guys who lived with Jesus, traveled with Him, the ones that He trained up, they've been the ones who have been working miracles and doing amazing things. But you're going to see here in Acts chapter 6, 7, 8, it transfers to ordinary people. It's no longer the people who walked with Jesus and who were trained by Him. Now that message, the kingdom mission, transfers and goes beyond to people like you and I. And we carry on the mission. And it's not just about, you know, the anointed man of God, but every single one of us who are believers, we take on the mission and we start to carry it out. And this is where these three chapters is where we see that transition take place. And so this is where it opened it up for you and I to be a part of this mission. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're part of this mission. He's talking about you. I know you might not feel ordinary. Some of you feel less than ordinary. Some of you feel more than ordinary, extraordinary. But we all are ordinary people. And God loves, He chooses ordinary people. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 says, "And so, brothers, select seven men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility." So, men who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. And where wisdom comes from is, number one, the fear of God, saying, "God, I respect you. I want to follow you." And number two, from the Word of God. But Acts chapter 19 is a famous passage. Acts chapter 19, verses 7 through 11, just talks about the Word of God, how it's more to be desired than gold. It's sweeter than honey. And the laws of God help make us clean, and they give us wisdom. And they preserve us. And so the Word of God, the beauty of the Word of God, if you ever want to just stir up the beauty of the Word of God, go to Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. It's a song we used to sing growing up, just singing those words of the beauty of the Word of God. Sweeter than honey. And as we get into the Word, you're going to see how these two men, Philip and Stephen, the first of the ordinary people who advanced the kingdom of God, how the Word of God was so dear to them. They didn't have the opportunity to walk with Jesus and to learn from him, but they consumed the Word of God, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. So the scriptures in chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip," and then we'll go on to these other guys. But the first two mentioned there, Stephen and Philip, this is the first we hear of them. And all it is, they're helping to take care of the widows. They're jumping in and saying, "Okay, you know, where there's a physical need, I'm going to jump in and be a part and help out." So these weren't preachers. They weren't apostles. They were just men from amongst the congregation. They said, "Look out amongst you, amongst people in the congregation, and choose out people who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God. And let them," what? "Not preach, not teach. Let them serve. Take care of widows." Turn to your neighbor, poke them in the arm and say, "It might be you." Because God's called all of us. God's commission in Matthew 28 goes to each and every one of us that we're to be a part. It's not just the 12 apostles. It's all of us. And so this is shifting now to the just people from the congregation, people sitting in the crowd that God picked out, Stephen and Philip. They were full of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing that marks them, is that they're full of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And so Jesus said to his disciples, don't even start going to preach the gospel until you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when Philip and Stephen were chosen, they were chosen because they were full of the Holy Spirit. So chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people." And so Philip, as he's preaching, people are getting saved. People are being healed. And so all of a sudden, now it goes from the apostles up until this time. It's always been the apostles out on the streets talking about Jesus and seeing people get healed. And now all of a sudden, it's people from the crowd, from the congregation, who are going out, and God is using them. Because why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because Jesus had taught them, but because they knew Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And so as Stephen is doing that, people get jealous, and they start to rise up, and they start to accuse him of being anti-temple and anti-society, and they arrest him, and they bring him to the religious rulers. You know what's amazing is that these religious rulers are the ones who crucified Jesus, and now they're persecuting the church, and yet the church, every day, every week, they're showing up at the temple where those religious leaders are. And they're joining in with the services led by these religious leaders. And there's something about the heart of the kingdom of God, the people of Jesus, that we just go where we go wherever God commands us. And sometimes he sends us to people we don't like. and we go. And we bring Jesus. And he's preaching, the Bible says, he's preaching to, especially to Jews, because he's a Jew who came from outside of Israel. He spoke Greek. He was culturally different from all the Jerusalem Jews who primarily spoke Hebrew. But he started to reach out to other Jews who had grown up outside of Israel. And he started reaching them. And then the other religious leaders got jealous of Stephen. And so they had him arrested. And so in chapter 7, verse 2, they bring Stephen in. And the Jewish leaders have gotten all these guys to bring false accusations against Stephen. And so they bring all these accusations against him and say, he's trying to tear down the temple. He's against you guys. And so then this was chapter 7, verse 2. This was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestors Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. And I love this. Stephen, he just spurred them all. He just got arrested. And they bring him up to speak, and immediately he just goes to the Word of God. And he says, let me tell you what happened from the Scriptures. And let me tell you first about Abraham. And let me tell you how God met him, not here in Jerusalem, not even here in the Holy Land. God met him in Mesopotamia. And so you guys claim Abraham is the father of your faith, and where God first met him was not here. God doesn't only work here in Jerusalem. God doesn't only show up here in this location. God showed up to Abraham in Mesopotamia. And God showed up to your other spiritual, you know, the other ancient fathers that the Jews love to claim, Joseph. Said God showed up to Joseph in Egypt. And how about Moses? God showed up to Moses in Midian. And he goes through the history from the Scriptures, from the Old Testament Scriptures. And he goes through the history of the people of God. And he shows them how the ancient fathers, God had met them in all these places outside of Israel. And I love how Stephen does that on purpose. He says, let me show you what I know about the Word of God. And he's speaking to all these religious leaders who should have known all these stories and were so against this guy who had grown up outside of, how can he be a religious leader if he's grown up outside of the promised land and outside of Jerusalem where the temple is? He's an outsider. He doesn't belong. We need to get rid of him. He can't be so popular. And he just says, let's just break down the Word of God. Let's take these scriptures that you folks know so well, and let me just show you what God has done. How the kingdom of God is not about this place. It's not about geography. It's not about ethnicity. It's about the power of God encountering people in nations all around the world. And that's how the kingdom of God is. And history goes on to show how Stephen was martyred for his faith. And yet through his martyrdom, we're going to see how that even advanced the kingdom of God. But in each and every one of our lives, what comes down here is two things. Number one, are you full of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to do what? He's going to remind you of everything that Jesus taught. Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them all the things that I've taught you. And how do we remember all the things that God has taught us? By the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate that thing that Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes. We celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who reminds us of everything that Jesus taught. And secondly, he was a man of the word. When he was arrested and extemporaneously given an opportunity to talk to all the religious leaders, immediately he just started going through the Word of God. He didn't need a scroll to go back. He didn't have to, you know, pick up, where's my Bible Gateway, my YouVersion? He just started preaching. Let me tell you what I know about the Word of God and the history from that. And he just went down the line showing them, here's where you're wrong. Here's how the kingdom of God has always advanced. By people from all different geographies, all different ethnicities, having an encounter with God. And then he was willing to just say, you know, whatever it takes. And the Bible records how Stephen was the first martyr, the first one to lay down his life. And still today, people are laying down their lives for the gospel all over the world, every year. And God's call, Jesus' call to each of us, is that we would lay down our lives. And you may not stand before a firing squad. You may not be thrown into prison. But there's so many ways in which God calls us to lay down our lives. Sometimes it's a little bit of uncomfortability going and talking to someone we don't want to talk to. Restoring a relationship with someone who's offended us. Talking to that person in school or the office that everyone else rejects. And going to them. And taking the time to show them the love of God. But make no mistake, God is calling ordinary people. It's not just the people who stand on stage, but it's each and every one of us. God is calling you to advance His kingdom in the place where you live with the people who surround you, no matter where they're from. Would you stand with me? As we close today, my encouragement to you is that you take these words. And we barely got into chapter 6, so there's 7 and 8 left to go. We'll pick that up in June when we come back. We may be in Acts the rest of the year. Just but the Bible says wisdom comes not just from hearing the word, not just from studying the word, but from doing the word. And so I want to encourage you this week. If you're listening, God will speak to each and every one of us. And to just take the time to say, Holy Spirit, you speak to me. I want to be obedient to what God wants me to do. And Holy Spirit, you remind me. You show me who you want me to talk to. You show me who you want me to reach out to, send a text to, express the love of God to. And it may seem like just a thought that you had, a random thought of someone who comes to mind. But as you reach out, you'll discover actually that was the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. And you may be a brand new Christian. You might not even be a Christian yet. And God can use you. And God used a donkey. So, come on, donkeys. It's just making ourselves available to God, like Stephen, like Philip. We'll hit Philip another time. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've called us. As just ordinary people, you call us to advance your kingdom, to be an expression of your love. That through our lives, people would experience the love of Jesus. And Lord, today we pray, Lord, this not only for the team going to Mongolia, you've called us to take the gospel and take Jesus to every nation. We're Lord, excited to be a part of that. Not only to those who are underprivileged and poor, Lord God, we pray a blessing on Art Collective and groups like that, like SALT, Lord God, that go in. Lord, we pray a blessing on their fundraiser, that they would have the funds to advance the kingdom. I pray for the voice of the martyrs, Lord God, who come alongside places where people are still being killed for martyred for the kingdom. But God, I also pray for each one here, because each one of us, you've called us to be your voice in the places where we live, in the people that we work alongside with, the people that we play with, the people that we live alongside. And so, God, I pray that each one of us, Lord, you make us sensitive to your call, Lord God, to be an expression of your love in the places that we live. That you would be glorified, that your kingdom would continue to advance, that people would become followers of you. As they experience your love, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.